Come on. Can we just give the Lord praise this morning? We're just thankful. Oh. what was that? Oh, we need to release the children this morning. And so you can go to Children's Church. And we're going to have church upstairs, church downstairs. How many know we've already had church this morning? Amen? So you may be seated if you want. If you want to keep standing, keep standing. If you want to keep drinking this morning. Well, I have so much joy. How many got excited this morning for everything that just took place? You know, that's prophetic right now of what God is doing. You know, there's 19 people that just got baptized. And I feel like this is a season. Listen, I think this is going to happen more often in this church. I think it's actually, believe it or not, I think we're about to see churches spend a lot more time baptizing and altar calls in this season than just hearing messages. That's a good service. Listen, I don't have to say anything. That was a good service. Why? Because God is cleaning the slate. If you heard anything the last couple of days, you know, we talked about Yom Kippur, and it ended yesterday. And it's a whole, in the Jewish calendar, it's the ending of a season and the beginning of a new year. And something just took place that I believe is prophetic. It's a prophetic act for this next season. Get ready. There's about to be more baptisms in the church in this time. And get ready. There's about to be a lot of young people that are going to get radically saved in this next season. Because we're living in days of harvest right now as we speak. God is doing a new thing. And he's ministering to a generation, because there's a whole generation right now that has never experienced a move of God. There's a whole generation right now that does not know what Toronto is. They don't know what Brownsville is. They don't know what any moves have happened, but they're asking, where is the power of God? I'm telling you, friends, we're living in a day where God is shaking things up because he wants to influence a generation with his love and his power. And we've been seeing things take place this last year. It has been mind-boggling. And I just want to share this. I'll get into my message. But this is prophetic for this church, because God is about to explode this church with young people. How many want that? I mean it. Explode it. I actually feel like the Lord told me, he said there's going to be services, plural, that are going to happen out of this church. And that God is actually going to release a second service, because there's going to be so many salvations and baptisms that are going to take place, that you're going to need a whole service just for the ministering to the new young believers that are coming in. Now, I'm not just speaking this just as nice words. You guys, we're seeing it as we speak right now. I just did an evangelistic meeting in Quebec. And so many people tell me, you go to Quebec to do evangelism? I say, yeah. You know, statistics show it's less than, I think, 0.5% evangelical Christians. People tell me all the time, God's not moving in Quebec. Well, he might not be moving for you, but he's moving for me. See, you can be in revival right now, even in the midst of everyone else saying God's not moving. You can say, God, I thank you that you're moving in this place right now. It's all in perspective. You can say, well, you know, it's not happening. Nothing. No, God is moving. And there's fruit that's being released as we speak. And so we go to Quebec, and the Lord spoke to me about this generation, how he was going to take the highest places of entertainment, those athletes and different entertainers that the world has worshiped. God spoke to me, and he said, the kings of the earth are about to serve the glory of God. And we're seeing it as we speak. We're seeing whole teams. I'll tell two stories. This is going to rock you. We're seeing whole teams get saved for Jesus Christ in this season. If you knew the time that we're living in right now, oh, we're gonna knock a devil today. No, we are. I got devil kicking shoes on this morning. You know why? I heard this morning, we pushed in yesterday for unity. Pushing for peace. You know what I found out? That dirty devil. There was a terrorist attack that happened late last night in Edmonton, my city. You know what I told the devil? I said, not on my watch. See, some of us, we gotta take ownership for the environment that we live in our cities. And instead of, come on, somebody, listen, instead of just being a thermometer, we need to be a thermostat and say, you know what? The temperature's not right. It's not that we complain, we just turn up the heat. And so the Lord was speaking to me about harvest and all the stuff that's going on. So I brought out an NHL player to Montreal, and we did an event, and it was the wildest thing. We had 600-700 people in the room, and over 80% of the people in the room were unsaved. 80%, church, are you ready for this? 80%. And I'm looking, and people are like, Sammy, how do you feel? I'm like, this is awesome. This is a good minority. This is a good thing to have. In church, listen, if you want to, I love to fish. I want to be where the fish are. And I do not believe in this theology that says what's in them is greater than what's in me. I hate it. People tell me all the time, why do you invite people always to your house? You know, aren't you worried about the devils they had? I say, no, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I want to get around them because I know that when I get around them, what's on me comes on them. See, God's shifting things in this season. He wants you to understand that what you carry is greater than any spirit that's out there. Because when Jesus died on the cross and when he said it is finished, it's still finished. Oh, and so I'm there and I'm preaching all these people. I'm looking around like, I'm getting convicted. I got to be honest with you. By the way, Brent, that was awesome. You got a workout and a half. You're like doing deadlifts, like... You're going to be the most ripped pastor in this region.
The garbage truck is not supposed to come on Sundays. He just drove in to take the garbage out, okay? That's prophetic right there, yeah.
And so here I am. We're in Quebec. We're doing this big meeting, you know, and I'm having such a good time. We're laughing. We're joking. We're having fun. Come on, somebody. You can have fun in church. I hate religious tight services. It drives me crazy. Some of us, listen, I need to lay hands on you and raise you from the dead this morning. Because Jesus paid for a life that's supposed to be more than what you could ever think of, dream of, imagine of. Listen, today he wants you to do things beyond your wildest dreams. So there I am. And we're having so much fun. We're laughing. I brought in air guns that's shooting out free product to all these kids. We're launching stuff out. We're throwing out jerseys signed by NHL players. Everybody's having a great time. But there's this religious devil that's here that's saying, Samuel, evangelical services, evangelistic services need to be more sober. You ever met lemon-faced Christians before? It's like they're sucking on a pound of lemons. Then they try to convince you that they have joy and you don't. I want to tell them, dude, let your face know. Yeah. Well, 30 years from now, you're going to look like me. I hope not. Where did we get this? That you're more holy by frowning? You know what God wants to do? He wants to break off the consumerism that's in the church. That's more concerned about getting in to have a good message to feel good. And we're not concerned about the people around us that are making decisions and literally their lives are being changed this morning. See, if we're only introspective, a move of God can be in our midst and we'll miss it because we're only looking at what's in here. But the moment you get your eyes off your situation, you focus on Jesus. That's where everything changes. And we're laughing, we're having a good time in Montreal, and all of a sudden, I'll tell you what, every religious devil that I had was getting delivered in this evangelistic meeting because people were yelling, they're getting so excited in the room, people are having blasts, but they're not saying amen. They're saying beep, yeah. And I'm kind of uncomfortable. You know, I'm telling you this is prophetic, I'm telling you this on purpose because you're about to see an army of young people come in here. And there's a breakthrough that's going to be released right now in this year. I'm preparing you so you cannot say that you are not ready for what's about to happen. Because some of us, if we're not careful, when the harvest comes in, we're going to get offended by the harvest because it doesn't look like what we think. And we're going to get nervous because there's going to be people coming in here that aren't Christians, but they're hungry for Jesus. They just haven't found him yet. And my Bible says, blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know who that righteousness is? It's Jesus. And there's a lot of people that are hungry and thirsty for Jesus. They just don't know who he is yet. And they're about to come in this place. And we have to be careful that we don't have a religious mindset that says you have to have everything perfect before you can come into our little social club and try to be somebody that you're not. And then all of a sudden, you have all these people. Oh, shaka. All these people. Listen, some of you are going to get set free today. Because you're not happy about your life. And the truth is today, God wants to break you out of the mold that people put you in that try to tell you to be somebody that you're not. That's why we're doing this. You know why? We're breaking out of molds that tell us what we have to do. See, the religious spirit always tries to tell you what you have to do, what you can't do. But God's raising up a generation that's going to break every mold and every chain. Doesn't give a rip about a message, but it gives a rip about a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. That's what God is doing in this place. That's why there's 19 people getting baptized today. Because they're saying there's one name above every other name, and it's the name of Jesus. Did an altar call. Quebec, all these people. You know, I keep thinking, God, you're so much different than what we think. I'm tired, Brent. I'm tired of going to places and nobody's getting saved. Lives aren't getting changed. All we want is a prophetic word. All we want is a little touch. And we go home, we do our own thing, and we don't take the light that God's put in us, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory inside of us. And we're not affecting the world. Not in this house. I can tell you that right now. You know, in this house, God's raising up people that are going to be lights in darkness. They're not going to be afraid of the spirit out there. They're going to be more concerned about people getting right with God, because at the end of the day, it's about eternity. It's not about how we feel in the moment. It's about seeing people commit their lives to Jesus. That's what I'm looking for. So we do an altar call, and we listen, you guys, we do an altar call with people that don't know Jesus. People that, listen, statistics tell you that Quebec, nothing's happening. I don't care what statistics say, because there's a truth that's greater than any stat that's out there. His name is Jesus. If you don't know him tonight, this morning, we might go till tonight. If you don't know Jesus today, or you've been given a Jesus that's not the real Jesus, you might need to examine your heart this morning. And say, God, you know what? I don't want to live for this other Jesus. I don't want to live for this thing that people try to tell me about myself. I don't want to live for this thing that try to put me in a box. I want to live for the person of Jesus. I want to walk with him every day of my life. We released the word. Here we go. 600-700 people that are in this place. Most of them never been to church. And in one moment, we said, how many want to accept Jesus? Almost 300 people gave their life to Jesus in one service. It's going to happen. Get ready. I'm telling you, you're going to have multiple services in this place. Multiple. And the reason is you're going to have a whole, I'm telling you prophetically, you're going to have a whole new believers service, and it's going to be nuts. And people that hear that you've been in church 30 years, you're going to come to the new believers service. You know why? God's injecting fresh blood in this time. When I heard my pastor talking about blood, you know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm releasing fresh blood in this place. We need fresh blood. We need God to start to moving on people in this season. He wants to circulate things right now. Too much stuff has been stuck. We've got all this stuff that's been stuck. All this prophetic destiny that's not being used. God is saying right now, I'm releasing a harvest. I want to give you a burning passion for souls today. I feel it. I feel it in this house. I know when I'm in a house of an evangelist. Is it far to you? I can feel there's a burden for souls. And I wasn't going to go here, but we're going to go here. We're going to go here this morning. You know why? Because the whole service already hasn't gone where we thought it was going to go. But guess what? We're following Jesus. I want to speak. There's a passion for souls in this time. God wants to raise you up with a burning desire to go after harvest. It doesn't have to be in a platform. It could be your neighborhood. Some of you, you're called to pastor your block in this season. Are you ready? Get ready. I'm telling you, you think it's crazy now. Get ready when the harvest starts coming in. That's okay. 300 people, almost 300 people give their life to the Lord on a Saturday. Sunday afternoon, I flew back on Saturday night, back to Alberta, to Edmonton. Sunday afternoon, I get a phone call from my pastor friend that we hosted the meeting at. He said, Samuel, you blew up my church. I'm like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? He says, Samuel, I was about to speak Sunday morning, and I looked up, and I realized something. Over 60% of the congregation has no language for what I'm about to speak this morning. And I'm like, what? He said, Samuel, I had to literally shift the whole thing. I actually had to break things down. And I actually had a purpose in my heart for fresh revelations to make those spiritual principles simple to these people. Because there's a whole generation that knows nothing about God, but they're hungry for Him. And there's new messages that are coming in this season. And he said, you know what? He said this. He said, I had to learn how to be flexible. Here's a word for you. You got to learn how to be flexible. It's time to stretch. See, some of you, it's time to start to stretch again. God is saying, I'm creating you in this season to be flexible. Because you know what happens sometimes? We get so accustomed to a little bit of success, and we build formulas and structures around a little bit of success, and the little bit of success can be the enemy of the breakthrough that God wants to release. So we had to learn how to be flexible. And he said, I met with all my leaders, Samuel, and I sat down that morning and I said, guys, right now, I know we have our next 6 months plan. We're scrapping everything. All the next 6 months, we're scrapping it all because we need a word from heaven. Can you imagine that 6 months you just poured in? I'll tell you something, get ready for Jehovah Sneaky. Some of you, you think you're preparing this way and God's about to do a 180 on you and you're like, well, I guess I'm throwing that away. Lord, I thank you for this way. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's, come on, somebody, listen. The Bible says man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. I'm going to say that again. Man plans his ways. So you can plan and you can do things, but guess what? You have to follow the direction of the steps of God. You might know where you're going, but I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes God brings you a different way than what you think. So you know what they started? They started a Wednesday night young believers course, talked about reading the Bible. Here's the most amazing thing. 60% of his church, never been to church before, unsaved, they showed up. Another 20% of his church showed up because they never read their Bibles. But they're too ashamed to admit it. And you know what happened? The whole church got set free. There were spiritual moms and dads in that whole building. All of a sudden became awakened. People started getting hungry for the word. Prayer meetings started happening. House fires started happening. All of a sudden, all over the place, things started to erupt. I was just at their church. There are now over 900 people in Quebec. So what can God do here? I feel that today. What can God do through you right now? I feel like the Lord is saying this, get ready. The harvest, there's a desire for harvest in this time. God wants to make you burn for the lost. Some of you, you're like, you know what? I've tried talking to my kids. It's not working. I'm going to say something. Something shifted for your family right now. Some of you are like, you know what? I feel like I've tried everything I can for my sons and daughters. Listen, I feel it today. I feel like there's angels in this place to bring family restoration. See, you got to believe it. Some of you got to shake off the disappointment of the previous season. And you got to say, Lord, I just thank you right now that my family's going to serve you just like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, you know what I see in this place right now? I see families being restored right now. I see some of you, get ready, grandparents, your kids and your children's children are all going to worship in the same room because God is saying he's a generational God. It's in this place. I feel we got to go there again. We got to go after this. I feel like even this Thanksgiving, God wants to do something at your dinner table. Some of you, your kids have never accepted the Lord. You need to contend this coming up, this Thanksgiving, saying, God, I thank you. It's going to be the greatest Thanksgiving weekend of our life. Our kids are coming back. They're going to sit at that dinner table and they're going to have turkey and they're going to love Jesus. Some of you moms, you know what you need to do? You need to anoint that turkey. I mean this. You need a shakara ba 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 ba. You need to stuff it. You stuff it. Listen, some of you, you like the butter on the turkey. You like to rub it on butterball, baby. I'm telling you, God's about to throw a little glory on that rub. And this, you're going to rub that turkey. You're going to oil it up with the presence and prayer. And as you're making that turkey, you're like, Lord, I thank you for my son. Lord, I remind you of the prophetic destiny that's over my kids. And I massage that anointing right now, even in the turkey, because I know that right now what I carry is greater than any spirit that my kids are going through. And I remind you, God, today that you're the same God. Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as you've touched other people's kids, you're not going to forget about mine. You're going to carve up that turkey. you're going to have the biggest Thanksgiving smile on your face. Because you're going to go, ha, 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 ha. And they don't realize it. As they're eating this turkey, there's a glory bomb being deposited. Inside, they don't know. They're like, wow, that's the most amazing turkey I've ever had. You're like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, it is. Why? Because your prayer is powerful today. Your words are powerful. We live, come on somebody, we live in the environment of our words. See, the world was framed by the words of God. Your world today is framed by your words. All of a sudden, that turkey is going to start doing strange things to your kids, to your spouse. They're going to be, man, what's with that turkey? You're going to start talking. People are going to start listening about Jesus. Why? Because God is, this is a new season, and God is moving in family revival as we speak. See, what you focus on, you empower. I got a word for you. God is releasing a new eagle's nest in this season. I actually saw a golden eagle's nest being dropped right in this region. And the Lord says it's time for the eagles to fly again. That there's eagles that have their wings have been clipped. But the Lord says, I'm restoring the wings of an eagle in this season to soar like you've never soared before. There's people in here, you used to soar like crazy, but the words of man have tried to clip your wings. God is saying, it's time for the wings to regrow. It's time for things to be restored. It's time to let go of the words of others in this season. I feel this right. We care way too much about what other people think. We got to let it go. We just got to let it go. Some of us today, there are things that we've been carrying for years that have defined us, what people have said. I got a word for you. God wants to silence every negative voice of the enemy. And just like when the Father God spoke to Jesus and he said, this is my son and who I'm well pleased. You know what God is speaking today? He's speaking that he is pleased in you and he's speaking your identity this morning. And that word from heaven is greater than any word that man can speak. And when God gives you a vision, oh, even the gates of hell can't stand against it. Because my Bible says this, that every devil's been defeated. Because it's finished. See, there's a hunger God wants to release right now. Some of you, you feel like you're on life support in your faith. Even if you don't have faith today, I feel like I have faith for you today to rise up. This is your greatest season yet. I feel that God wants for some of us to shake off the dust of the past today. It's time to believe for a future because there's a harvest that is coming in right now. So here's something for this is going to rock you. How many want to get messed up today? I'm messed up already. I got drunk when you were putting people in. If everyone was like a wave of glory hitting me in the face. We need that. Some of you, you know what you need? You need God to hit you in the face. Now listen, I'm putting it in context. What I mean, you need a wave of glory to hit you because some of us right now, our minds are so restricted by what God can and cannot do. And I feel today he wants to blow up the box for you this morning. Here's the Lord spoke to me. Get ready. The entertainment mountain is about to serve the mountain of the church in this season. That those that are in entertainment, those that are in sports are about to move. I said, yes, Lord, I receive it. Well, just a little while ago, how many know who Sean Bolts is? I had Sean out. Dude, okay, I knew Sean 1.0. Yeah, he was here. I know Sean 1.0. And I know Sean 2.0. Sean 2.0 is a freak. I joke around. I'm like, bro, you're crazy. How many have ever seen Sean moving that crazy word on? Like, just like this dude, this crazy. God is releasing, I'm telling you, to a generation. You know why this is happening right now, Brent? God is releasing the power of God to a generation that has never seen the power of God before. Just like the times of Samuel, when the word of the Lord was rare, God is raising up Samuels again to speak the word of the Lord to a generation that has never heard it before. And we owe them an encounter. I'm not going to sit on the sideline and hold it back. We owe them an encounter. So I'm with Sean in Edmonton, and he's moving in this word of knowledge. And I have a buddy of mine. He's a wide receiver for the Edmonton Eskimos, our football team. And I remember, you know, he was like, Samuel, I wish I could come, but I got a game. I'm like, do I miss the game? I'm like, bro, don't miss the game. It'd be better because BC Lions were playing them. I thought maybe you should miss the game. He says, what do? I said, I'm going to get Sean on the phone after the service. He's going to pray for you. This was a couple years ago. And I remember I got Sean on the phone, and it was the funniest thing. So he's like, hey, you know, Sean's like, nice to meet you. I got this word. And he sends out a birth date, and he sends out another date, and it's his anniversary. And I love my friend because he's so new to this. He's just heard about Sean. He says, bro, have you been stalking me on Facebook? I love what Sean said. He's like, are you kidding me? He's like, an hour ago, I didn't even know what the CFL was. Sean's from the States. Can I tell you something about Sean? You know what I love about Sean? When he operates in his gift, he doesn't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to tell you something right now. All the emails that we try to put out there to people, can I tell you something? Most of the time, they don't care. When it's rebuking, now they care if it's prayer and different things. When you try to rebuke someone via email, and you don't have the guts to tell me in my face, I'm not going to waste my time. All these people that blog out there like they're big shots, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a judgment against Pharisees, but there's also a judgment against scribes. People that, listen, Pharisees hide behind their good deeds. Scribes hide behind their good words. A lot of people out there that are shooting off stuff, they have no idea if it's God or not. Be careful who you hang around. I'd rather fear God than fear man. And I don't care. I'll tell you one of the most freeing things. I don't care what people think. I've got two fears. I'll tell you my two fears. I have the fear of the Lord and the fear of my wife. Because I don't want International Couch Ministries. Let me tell you that right now. ICM is not for me. So Sean releases this word. He said, here's the word of the Lord. Now this rocked me. This takes guts. Oh. He said, I got a word for you. He's like, I'm sorry to tell you this. You're not going to win the Grey Cup this year. I thought, great, Sean. You're starting off awesome. Thanks. He says, but I have a word for you. You're going to have the most amazing season next year as a team. You guys are going to win the Grey Cup, and you're going to make the play that's going to help them win the Grey Cup. Not just that, you're going to come into the biggest salary that you've ever come into. Now, at first I thought, okay, this is good. Then all of a sudden he tells them that they're going to win the Grey Cup, and he's coming into the biggest salary. I thought, Sean, stop while you're ahead. Because that's a big word. And he's like, in Jesus' name, amen. And just hands me the phone. And my buddy's like, I said, bro, don't think about it, just receive it. Well, that year, they don't win. But the next year, before the season started, my friend told all the players and the coaches. He said, guys, I don't care if you believe me. I don't care what you think of me. But there's this crazy prophet, dude, that gave me my birthday and my anniversary. And he told me that we are going to win the Grey Cup. Takes guts. See, you know what God's looking for? People to actually say something in this season. See, you got something to say. See, listen, so many times I have had nothing to say, but when I'm faithful, when I open up my mouth, God will speak through me. See, part of evangelism that God wants to do, he wants to break off the restriction off your mouth in this season. As you open your mouth, he'll fill it with his words. But there's been a restriction against people's mouth to try to tell you to be quiet. Not in this season. Because I'm going to declare the works of God. So he tells everybody, well, the very first game of the year, their star quarterback gets injured. First game. I look at the standings. 0-1-1. 2 losses. 3 losses. 4 losses. I never have moved in panic prayer every time I picked up the paper and turned to the sports section. Loss, 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 loss. And I thought, oh my goodness, Sean Bolts, you've missed it. This is crazy. I can't believe you did this. I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to tell my buddy? And all of a sudden, the quarterback comes back, and they start to win. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm a BC fan through and through. Any BC sports, I love my BC team. But I've never cheered for the Edmonton Eskimos like I cheered that year. I mean, every week when they won, I was like, oh, Jesus, thank you. Well, they squeak into the playoffs. All of a sudden, the first playoff game they win, the second playoff game they win, and now the Edmonton Eskimos are in the Grey Cup with the Ottawa Redskins. And I'll tell you something, I don't normally watch the Grey Cup, but I had everybody over at my house, and we were the biggest intercessory group for the Edmonton Eskimos like you've ever seen. We were like half an hour before the game, shaka da ba ba da ba ba da ba 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 ba. See, some of you, you're asking God, I want to get hungry. You want to know how you get hungry? Put yourself out there, which it requires a risk. You want to get more hungry for God? You want to get more passionate? Like, God, why am I not passionate? You don't take enough chances out there. See, if all we do is wait for the pastor to come up here and give us the bread, and all we do, we don't actually go out there and get the testimony. We just hear testimonies. We get stagnant. But as soon as you start to move out there and you start to push in, all of a sudden you realize, God, I need more of you. I have to come to church, not just because it's a good message, but I got to get filled. I got to get around faith-filled people. You start to carry fire when you take risks. And so all of a sudden we're watching the game. And I'm thinking, Lord, my friend, Sean Bolt's prophesied, my friend is going to make the, you know, he's going to be the best player in the game. He's going to do this amazing thing. So we're all praying for him. Shakada, blah, blah, blah. The third play in the game, in the first quarter, there's four quarters. In the first quarter, my friend goes up for a catch. And the ball hits his finger and he breaks his finger. I'm like, oh no, Sean Bolt is a false prophet. Shakada, blah, 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 blah. Just kidding. Some of us are, oh my goodness. And so I'm like, Lord, we got to pray. So we're shakada-ba-ba-da, shakada-da-ba. And he's out of the whole game until the fourth quarter. And the team is going back and forth. Edmonton's up. Ottawa's up. Edmonton's up. Ottawa's up. And all of a sudden, Ottawa's up by 4 points with like 2 minutes left. And now I see, I'm like, Lord, where's my friend? He's not even in the game. He's on the side. He's probably feeling terrible because he thinks, Lord, I'm not doing anything for my team. And then I see him. The coach says, come on the game. Now, it's the saddest thing I've ever seen. Because he broke his finger here, okay? And they had to tape his fingers together, and it looked like he had a penguin hand. He was like this. His fingers were stuck like this because they had to support his middle finger that was broken. And he was like this, and I thought, Lord, it looks like he has a handicapped hand. He can't move it. What is he gonna do in the game? And I remember, they tried to throw to him, and he fumbled the first pass. I thought, oh God, help, help, help. And all of a sudden, Edmonton makes a play. They make another play. They make another play. And they get down to the 10-yard line. And now I'm like, oh God, this is it. But I'm thinking, my friend's got the penguin hat. How is he going to catch the football? I got a word for you. Revival's always different than what you think. But if you embrace it, it's greater than what you could ever expect. So here he is. I'm thinking, Lord, this has to be it. He hasn't made any play up until this point. It has to be it. Here he is, penguin hand. And he's at the line. And I remember, first pass, nothing happens. Second pass, nothing happens. And in Canadian football, there's only three downs. If you miss it on the third one, the other team gets the ball. If the other team would have got the ball, it would have been done. A few seconds left, here's my friend. He's at the line. I'm thinking, Lord, this is it. And as soon as the play starts, my friend tries to run and he slips and falls. And I'm like, oh Lord, I can't believe it. This is it. Oh, I don't even look. And all of a sudden I hear one of my friends said, and I look up and my friend had gotten up, but because he had fell, everybody moved away from him thinking he wasn't a threat. But the quarterback was scrambling like this back and forth. People were missing him. And my friend gets up with the penguin hat and he starts moving. And the quarterback throws the football. And my friend with the penguin hat catches the football and they win the game. Captain Penguin Hand with the catch. Everybody's going nuts. I'm freaking out. Jesus, Jesus. How many know when you get your breakthrough, every single person has a dance. I don't care how religious you think you are. I would never dance. Listen, when that breakthrough comes, you're like, oh yeah. I've never seen a more sobering moment for a sports team in my life. Everybody was sober. Why? The word of Sean Bolts came back to all the players. And here's a guy. They said, sir, what do you want to say? He said, to everyone watching, God is real. And if you need Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. He's right here available for you. And he literally does an altar call on national news, calling people to Jesus. I get a phone call. It's this guy. He says, Samuel, my agent just called me. The team phoned me up and they just offered me the contract of a lifetime. Now, here's the best part. Can I tell you what the prophetic word will do? It'll open up doors for you beyond what you can think or imagine. All of a sudden, players started phoning me up. And I'm like, hello? Hi, this is so-and-so. And I'd like to talk to you and your crazy prophetic friend that, you know, give all those dates. Would you be willing to come to our team to do a chapel and do the same thing what you did for your friend? Could you do it with the rest of us? We all want to hear about Jesus. How many want that in this season? I mean, the world's going to testify. I'll tell you, right out of this church, God is raising people up. I know I'm on a rabbit trail. This is very different. But I'm going to end with this story because I feel it today. Because here's my word for you. Some of you, you felt like you wasted time. I have a word for you. You haven't wasted anything. You've just invested. And I have a word today. God's bringing things full circle. How many want God to bring things full circle right now? I wasn't going to go here, but I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 5 right now. And I'm going to share a story, and then we're going to pray because I feel like the Lord is saying this is a full circle moment. Say full circle. How many want God to give you a return on your investment in this season? Some of you, you've been going through a whole season where it's like, man, I felt like I lost this. I tried to sow into here and it didn't happen. I felt like the Lord said this, in my kingdom, there's nothing lost. You've just invested it and you're about to get a return on your investment in this season. And I love this because in Joshua chapter 5, Israel had just crossed over the Jordan, and I feel like this is prophetic. The baptism, we're crossing over in this season. The things that have held us back will no longer hold us back in Jesus' name. And I love this. Oh, shakarabababa. How many are excited today? Oh, let's go to Joshua 5, verse 9. I love having prophetic messages. There's times when, listen, we just need fresh bread this morning. Amen? Now look at this. Joshua 5, verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day, say this day. I got a word for you. This day something happened in that baptismal tank. This day. What happened? I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. That word reproach means discouragement and depression. God is removing the discouragement and the depression of the previous season. Some of us felt bound by Egypt, but God is saying, I have set you free today. This day, I have rolled away the stone. This day, I am shifting things for you. See, we're in a time of a shift right now where the Lord is saying, it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It's about today because I'm the God of the now and I'm shifting things out. As people were getting dunked, I literally saw disappointment come off of people and hope restored. Part of a revival that God's releasing, you know what it is? A restoration of hope right now. There's people here, there's getting hopes being restored in your body. You're going to start to dream again. You're going to start to pull out those prophetic words that you hid in the closet. You don't even want to look at because you feel like you've disappointed God. God is saying it's time to pull out those words, pull out those dreams again. Read the prophetic words because they're about to come to pass. Now look at this. This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of this place is called Gilgal to this day. You know what that word Gilgal means? It means the place of circles. The place of circles. Here's what the Lord told me. Guess what you're about to do? You're about to make a comeback in this season. See, 40 years before, Israel was at a threshold. They had an ability to cross over, but they didn't cross over because they weren't ready yet. But you know what? They came to Gilgal and they were in a place where God was bringing things full circle. And you know what? In that moment, they were ready. They might have not felt ready before and they may have made mistakes before in the previous season, but they came back to that place. Why? Because God can take any situation and turn it around for your good in this season. And some of you, you've been feeling like, man, I felt like I've missed it. Listen, there's another chance right now today to go after. There's another thing that God is doing. He's bringing us full circle, but this time we're ready. See, some of us, we weren't ready before. You know what? I talked about this yesterday. Some of us, we haven't learned humility. And God's more interested in your longevity than he is in quick success. And he'll actually restrict things on your benefit because our character's not in the right place to be able to sustain what God wants to do. But I'm telling you, many of you, you've gone through the refining fire and God is saying you weren't ready before, but you're ready now. This day. And I love this. What are you ready for? Check this out. This is amazing. Shaka-da-ba-ba-ba-da-ba. Look at this, verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. Now look at this, verse 11. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day they had eaten of the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate of the food of the land of Canaan that year. You know what you're about to step into right now? You're about to taste of your prophetic words. Wow. Here's my word. You're coming full circle, and here's what the Lord's saying. Some of us, we've been sustained through the word of prophecy and encouragement, and you know what? We've been blessed through the times of manna where God has provided for our needs, but we're shifting today. Something has shifted today. Happened in the baptism tank. When you had that word on the first day, when you heard baptism, you said, we got to do a baptism. Something shifted because we've crossed over, and we're at the place of Gilgal, the place of circles. And God is bringing things full circle again. I can feel it in this region. Full circle. And we're about to eat of the prophetic words in this time. See, it's one thing to have a prophetic word. It's another thing to step into that word. And I feel that this morning, God is saying it's time to step into your words. Some of you, you're called to be missionaries. It's time to step into that word right now by faith. Some of you, you've been called evangelists. You've been called someone that's going to be like John the Baptist that's going to release fire. It's time to step into that word. What do I mean by step in? You engage with your heart. And you say, right now, Lord, I thank you. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't try to lean on this and figure this out, but I step in here. Whew. Because the Lord's going to take everything, bring it full circle. I'm going to end with this testimony, then I want to pray. Because I believe from today on, there is going to be a burning for evangelism and a burning for your prophetic words to come to pass. This church will be known as a church that will see prophetic words come to pass. Not just give prophetic words. It's one thing to give prophetic words. It's another thing to be a part of a people that see prophetic words come to pass. I love the prophetic, but you know what's greater than the prophetic? Seeing those words come to pass. So I remember when I was 16, I can't believe I'm thinking about this right now. Actually, Brian, you had a word for me when I first came out. I still remember in the old church building in Abbotsford, you gave me a word. You said, Samuel, you gave up sports career and all these things, but God's going to do something in you beyond what you can think or imagine. I still remember that word. That's when you didn't have your long hair. You had short hair back then. I remember when I gave up basketball. I wanted to play basketball. High-level basketball, and the Lord spoke to me and said, Samuel, I want you to give up your basketball career because I want to do something in you beyond what you can think or imagine, but you have to give up good to receive best. One of the hardest days, I remember going to my coach and saying, Coach, you're not going to understand this, but the Lord spoke to me. I was praying, and I'm supposed to lay down my basketball career. And he looked at me and said, Samuel, I don't understand, but he's like, I love your courage to make this decision because most people would never come to me and say it. And I remember giving up everything I had. I gave up school. People said, you're crazy. What are you doing? My principal pulled me in my office and said, Samuel, you're ruining your life. See, sometimes people don't understand the walk of faith. Sometimes people won't understand you when you're saying, I got to do this. I don't have the full reason, but I just got to move out. I got to do something. I can't stay where I was. I remember giving everything. And I looked at my dad and said, Dad, I don't feel like I have a lot, but what I do have, I'm going to serve you with all my heart, and I'm going to bless you, I'm going to honor you. And I traveled with my dad all over the world, and I served him, I carried his bag. When he needed water, I'd get him water. When he needed someone to help him, I helped him. Everywhere I went, I wasn't looking for anything except just being obedient to God. See, promotion always comes through a place of honor and service. Always. You know what you learn in times of honor and service? You learn humility, and you learn that it's not about you. And when you bless other people, it's actually refreshing and awesome. I did this, for years, and God started opening up ministry doors, and I got married to an amazing, beautiful woman. Her name's Kristen. We have two kids. We have one more on the way. And we're really moving here. And I got to tell you something. If you're not married today, the glory of God will make you attractive. Because if you've ever seen my wife, you know I carry a lot of glory. And if you've ever seen Kevin and Donna, you know Kevin carries a lot of glory. I've been good to him all week, but I had to give him one shot. I was just serving the Lord, traveling the world, being with my family. I remember one day, this thought came to me. I haven't even thought about it. This thought came. I thought, man, God, where would I be if I would have said yes to my basketball career? And all of a sudden, I started thinking about this. I'd go to places and be like, Lord, what would have happened if I would have said yes? And I remember the Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, Samuel, I can do things through you beyond what you can think or imagine. And I want to take you, and take that basketball aspect, and I want to bring those things full circle for you. And I'm thinking, Lord, number one, I'm too old to play in the NBA. That's not going to happen. But the Lord spoke this to me. He said, Samuel, I can open up doors for you beyond what you can think or imagine. And just because you felt like you gave it up doesn't mean you didn't invest it for something greater. See, some of us, what we've given up, we feel like it's haunted us. It's the feeling of, what would happen if I would have done this? What would have happened if I would have went after this person? What would happen if I would have went after this opportunity? And sometimes we live our whole lives in regrets, thinking that we missed something. And we focus so much on what we missed that we forgot about what we have. I don't know a lot. I'm only 31. I've realized the more I get older, the more I don't really, I don't know much. You know what I do realize? Is the need for family and friends. More than ministry opportunity, more than business success, all that other stuff, I'm telling you, is fleeting. But when you have people that love you and care for you, and people in here, some of you need to get connected in this next season, because the Lord is saying he wants to establish family in you and bring in people that are going to believe the best in you, not because of what you do or some kind of accomplishment that you have, but just because you're loved by the family and you're loved by God. Yeah. So here I am, I give it up basketball. I was thinking, Lord, what could you do there? I get a phone call. It's 2015. I get a phone call from a friend of mine. He's the chaplain of the Toronto Raptors, Herbie Kuhn. He's a good man. And I get a phone call, and he says, Samuel, what do you think about helping me? And I said, helping you with what? He says, well, the NBA All-Star Game is in Vancouver. Sorry, in Toronto. The NBA All-Star Game. How many know what the NBA All-Star Game is? That's when the best basketball players in the whole world come together in one place. He said, the NBA All-Star Game's in Toronto in 2015 in February. He said, what do you think if I make you one of the chaplains and you get to pray over all the best players? And I'm thinking, hold on a second, I need to pray. You know what? I'm feeling the witness of the Lord on that. So there I am. I'm in Toronto with all the best basketball players, all the guys that I thought, man, what would have been like to be with them? There I am. They're all way taller than me. I'm like, there I am. And the Lord speaks to me and says, Samuel, did I not tell you that I can take anything and bring it full circle? So here's your word today. We've crossed over. It was a prophetic act through the baptismal tank that God has washed you clean in this season. He's removed the reproach of Egypt. He's taken away the disappointment, the discouragement, the hope deferred. He's removed that off of you right now. And his word for you is this: he's going to take things that you felt like you lost, and he's going to bring things full circle in this time. Some of you, you're about to have your families restored in this season right now, in Jesus' name. Some of you, your finances, your health is coming back right now. And in this church, I'm telling you right now, the Lord is establishing an eagle's nest out of this house right now. And the eagles are going to come in, and there's going to be a harvest of young people like we've never seen before, in Jesus' name. God's not done with you yet. So why don't we stand? Jesus. Well, I think you're about to see some more spontaneous baptisms. If you are feeling led to get baptized again, I'm just saying, I think things are going to, that's going to be a hot commodity in this next season. It really will be. But here's what I feel this morning, or now it's this afternoon. Thank you, by the way, for giving me time. We've stepped into something new right now. I believe where we're going, we've never been. And that God has called you for such a time as this. And he's brought you here not by accident, not just for another Sunday morning service, just to hear a message. I believe that today the Lord is saying that there's new things that he's doing right now. And he's bringing us full circle right now. I can tell you this prophetically, we have come full circle. And here's my word: we might not have been ready before, but we're ready now. I got a word for you. You need to hear this. You might have not been ready before, but you're ready now. Some of you, you've been feeling, man, I don't feel ready. Yes, you are ready. I got a word for you. God says you're ready this morning. You have more than what you think. And there's a lot more left in the tank than what you think. You're about to kick in to a new energy reserve in this season. And some of you, you're going to speak to your soul and say, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Some of us, we need a recharge right now. So I want everybody to lift up your hands all over this place. I can feel, I see right now, it's like Holy Ghost electric wires coming down over people today, right now. And I speak right now to people's hope. And I speak right now to people's dreams. And I speak right now the power of God coming over you right now in Jesus' name. And the word of the Lord is this, that things are coming full circle right now in Jesus' name. That this is a new season and that this is a new time. And God says he's about to charge things up. Get ready, get ready, get ready right now. God, I thank you for the moving of the power of the Spirit. Right now, we speak to people's souls right now. We speak to let the spirit of might be released in Jesus' name. God's not done with you yet. He's not done. He's not done for your kids. He's not done for your family. He's not done with your future. There's another round in this thing right now. And God is lifting you up in this time. And he's taking everything that you felt like it was lost. God says it's being restored and multiplied in Jesus' name. And I speak right now, even into this very church right now. And God, I thank you for the harvest that's coming in. That God says there's a harvest of young people. And we prophesy right now to the millennial generation that it's time to come in. We speak right now the voice of the Father to come home, come home, come home right now in Jesus' name. The Lord says that the home is ready and the sound's being released. The home is ready and the sound is being released right now in Jesus' name. Lord, open our eyes right now, even to the opportunities to witness and to evangelize family members, neighbors. Some of you right now, the Lord is saying it's time to minister to that neighbor that you've known for 20 years. You've never talked to him about Jesus. This is the time to do it. And I want to encourage you, I can see right now, Lord, I thank you. This place, is going to be a place where people are going to come in one moment, they're going to feel family. Some of you today, you know what? You've been struggling, you felt like you haven't found your place. It's like you haven't found your tribe. I feel like the Lord is saying this today. You've come home. You've come home. Some of us, we just need to stop running. We need to plant roots. I feel it right now. Just, it's time to plant roots. Because the Lord is saying, you're called to be fruitful and multiply, but until you plant the roots, you don't have enough nutrients for the fruit to be at its fullness. And the Lord is saying right now, it's time to plant roots in this season. I see people going in deep. I'm gonna tell you something. Listen, if you're looking for a family, it's time to plug in right now and get deep. The Lord says, get deep, get deep, get deep, get deep. Because if you get deep, the nutrients are going to flow and the fruit is going to be bigger than what you can think or imagine in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just thank you right now for this incredible opportunity all over this church. Lord, I thank you. You have raised us up for such a time as this. Lord, I thank you for this region. Lord, I just bless this region. Lord, I thank you for Aldergrove. I thank you for Abbotsford. God, I thank you for Mission. I thank you for Langley. Lord, I thank you for the Fraser Valley. Lord, we just bless this region. And we thank you that the blessing is greater than any curse. And Lord, I thank you right now that the river is going to flow. Right now, the river, the river is going to flow. And everywhere the river goes, it brings life. Life. Just say this with me, life. One more time, life. Oh. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.